Shalom. So good to see you here. My name is Jacob. As you can tell, I'm a shepherd. I'm also a Jew, the tribe of Levi. Welcome to my fields. We're very close to Bethlehem right now. Right over there, you can see the light from the candles still flickering in the windows of the homes up on that hill. And if you think that we're a little close to a village, you're on the right track, because normally shepherds keep their flocks way out in the wilderness, far away from towns and villages and cities. But this flock with me here is special. It's necessary for this flock to be close to Bethlehem, because Bethlehem is close to Jerusalem and the temple. And this flock will be taken to Jerusalem's temple for sacrifice. So it's necessary for us Bethlehem shepherds to keep very careful watch over these sheep and to keep them unblemished, because only an unblemished lamb can be offered as sacrifice in the temple. So when a lamb is born, we take very careful care to keep it from getting hurt, scratched, bruised, anything. In fact, we wrap it in swaddling cloths to make sure that it's protected. And either out in the fields or in the caves, just built into the hill right below Bethlehem, it is our job, no matter where they are, to keep them safe until the time comes when we take them to Jerusalem. I'm sorry. I get carried away. I talk about shepherding all the time. Welcome to my camp. You've just made it here. I know you've had a long journey to get here, and I don't very often get evening guests, so I'm so glad to see you. And rather than talking about shepherding right off the bat, I should have offered you just more of a welcome and a greeting, and come by my fire and get warm. I know it's chilly out there tonight. So as you're warming yourself, maybe you'd like to hear me tell my story, or not, whatever. But let me just tell you my story, my family. I'm a shepherd. My father was a shepherd. His father before him was a shepherd. In fact, many generations of my family in the line of Levi have been shepherding in these Judean hills. And I can tell you that a shepherd's life is a really great life. It's not a way to get rich, but it's a great way to stay sane. Because here in these hills, away from the busyness and the activity and the noise of cities and towns and villages, it's just me, my fellow shepherds, my flocks, and I have time, space to think and to pray and to reflect on the scriptures. I've come to know the Lord out in these fields. I don't know how much you know about my people, the Jews, but I can assure you that from the very beginning of our nation's history, shepherding has played a major role in all of our stories. For instance, Abraham, the father of our nation, was a shepherd. And so was his son Isaac and his son Jacob. I'm named for Jacob. And Jacob's 12 sons, they were all shepherds. The great lawgiver, Moses, he was a shepherd, not for his whole life. The first 40 years of Moses' life, he spent in the lap of luxury in the palaces of Egypt. And then the last 40 years of his life, he was leading our people through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. But those middle years, the middle 40 years, I think those must have been the happiest years of Moses' life, because it was during those years that he was a shepherd in the land of Midian. Our greatest king, David, he was a shepherd. He was raised as a shepherd, shepherding his father Jesse's flocks in these very hills. 1,000 years ago, David shepherded his flocks, and he protected them against attacks by bears and lions. And these fields produce wonderful, rich, green grass, but they produce more than just the grass. They teach about the ways of God. David learned lessons while shepherding that he put to very good use when he was sitting on the throne of Israel. And David was, he was a shepherd, he was a king, and he was a poet. And he wrote lots of songs about things that he had learned about the ways of God. One of those songs is about shepherding. And every shepherd in Israel knows that song by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the quiet waters, restores my soul, guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The first line of that song, the Lord is my shepherd. And I know that the Lord is my shepherd, because in the scriptures, the prophets so often talk about God as the shepherd of Israel. He's the shepherd of our people. And during those seasons when our people wandered away from God's path and were rebelling against God, the prophets would describe us as sheep without a shepherd. And that's a picture. Have you ever seen sheep without a shepherd? It's pretty pathetic. Because sheep don't know anything. And sheep will get lost and they'll wander away. And they'll be prey to every predator, and they won't be able to find pasture or water without a shepherd. During those times, like today, when the Sadducees and the Pharisees are leading our people, but not in the ways of God, the prophets called them bad shepherds. See, that's just bad shepherding. Being a shepherd is a job unlike any other job. Like a craftsman or an artisan leaves his house, goes to his shop, and he works with his materials, and maybe it's wood or stone or metal, and then at the end of the day, he closes up his shop and he goes home. Or even a farmer. A farmer will go out to his fields and till the field or harvest a crop, and then he goes home. That's not the way it is with shepherds. We shepherds are with our sheep all the time. We live with our sheep. Good weather, bad weather, we know our sheep. We call them by name. These sheep depend on me for everything. It can be really hard to find good pasture, flowing water. If I don't find it for them, they starve to death. If I don't protect my sheep from wild animals or thieving people, they're destroyed. I have to find the best pastures in the broad, low places, because if I let them wander onto the heights, they get into trouble. And then if one of them runs away and strays, I got to go looking for it, and I may spend hours, I may spend days looking for that one lost lamb. But really, my whole life is caring for this, my flock. Now, this flock belongs to the high priest. They belong to the temple. And these flocks and all that you see tonight, they will go to the temple in Jerusalem. Because God's law says that we must sacrifice sheep to atone for our sins. And that's just, it happens every single day in the morning. Every evening, the great feasts of our people, sacrifices of sheep at Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, Day of Atonement, no end to the number of sheep who have to be sacrificed because there is no end to the sin of my people. I've sort of got the ultimate in job security. As long as my people keep on sinning, there'll be a need for the sacrifice of sheep. Now, would it be wonderful if God were to provide this, maybe a once and for all sacrifice, so that we wouldn't have to take these sheep to Jerusalem to be sacrificed? Yes, that would be wonderful. But it hadn't happened yet, and I don't see it happening, and I certainly don't see my people stopping in their sin. So I will continue my shepherding ways, and I will continue to be regarded by my people as an unclean outcast. That's how my fellow Jews view me. Despite the fact that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, and lots of others were shepherds, despite the fact that God calls our leaders shepherds, and despite the fact that God calls himself our shepherd, my people won't have anything to do with me. They keep their distance. They don't come near to me and my fellow shepherds. They don't want to have anything to do with us at all. It doesn't make much sense, does it? Because without shepherds, there's no sheep, and without sheep, there's no atonement for sin. But I'm considered a second-class citizen of the kingdom of God. And I even know why. Because our job requires that we're around blood and we're around death a lot, the death of the animals, and we're outside all the time, so we smell bad. I know that. And we're uneducated, never did get an education, and we're poor. We're not even trusted. Did you know that in a court of law, a shepherd's testimony is not considered valid testimony? They don't take us seriously. But it makes me wonder, those who look down on us, what did they think when God describes himself as a shepherd? Because they know what we shepherds do, right? I mean, we're always with our sheep. We never leave our sheep. And we fight for them and we protect them. We provide for them. So doesn't that tell us what God does for his people? He provides for us. He protects us. He fights for us. He is with us. Now, the Hebrew way to say God with us is Immanuel, Emmanuel. So if God is with us, that means he knows all about our messes. Just like I know about all the messes my sheep get into, and I rescue my sheep, and God rescues us from our messes. But I'm not esteemed, I'm not appreciated. But I love being a shepherd. It's the greatest job I could ever hope for, because on a night like this, when it's so beautiful outside, I just think of God caring for me the way I care for my sheep. And he's providing for me, and he's protecting me. What a gift.
In the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And so the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of the heavenly army of angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased."
Whew. Whoa. You saw that, right? Yeah, and you heard all that? That angel, man, he lit up the sky like daytime, and his voice like a trumpet blast. Don't be afraid. Right, who's not going to be afraid of that? So, but he had a message. Well, okay, what did he say? Good news about the city of David. The city of David, that's Bethlehem, right over there. And it's about a birth of a king. No, wasn't a king. A Savior has been born. And is Christ the Lord. And Christ means Messiah. So Messiah has been born tonight in Bethlehem. That's just a quick walk over there. And well, it makes sense that the Messiah will be born in the city of David, because Scripture says that the Messiah is going to be the greater son of King David, and he's going to be lying in a manger. And you'll find, so the angel wants us to go, us shepherds, to go and see the baby. And the only stables around here that have mangers are the Bethlehem caves, where we keep the sheep before we take them to Jerusalem's temple for sacrifice. I got to go see this newborn baby. So stay right here. I'm going to be right back. Don't move. I just have to go see this thing real quick. It was just like the angel said it would be. We got to the caves, started looking through all the caves until we found the one cave where the baby was. Just like the angel said, he was lying in a manger. His parents were there, his mom, his dad. You see, I assume the man was the father. He was standing guard. And when he saw us walking towards the cave, he was on high alert. He's going to protect his family. But we told him what the angel said to us. And he said, come on in. He invited us to see the baby. And there he was. He was lying in a manger. His mother was next to him. She had wrapped him in the exact same kinds of cloths that we wrap and swaddle our lambs before we take them to the temple. In fact, looking at the baby, it was like looking at a lamb that was ready to be taken to the temple. But the angel said, he's Messiah, Christ, the Lord, joy to all the people, the hope of the world. When I was there standing in front of the baby, it kind of all came together. It all fit for me in a way it never had before, and I got it. I understood better than those who looked down at me and people like me. God doesn't keep his distance. He draws near to us. That's the message of the baby. God comes near. Now, he's the Messiah. No question about that. That's what the angel said. But Messiah has come differently than I expected him to come. That cave was nothing like any palace I've ever heard about. Didn't smell like it, didn't look like it. And he was welcomed not as royalty is usually welcomed, because, here's my thought, God didn't send that baby as a Messiah to rule and reign, but to shepherd. And I know all about shepherding. I can't shepherd my sheep from a distance. I've got to be with them. And God can't shepherd people from a distance. So he has come near. In the baby, he came near. So you've come to join me out in my fields. And the good news of this day is God has come near, and he invites you and me to draw near to him, just as we are. Draw near in faith. Draw near in worship. Just like the angels did, glory to God in the highest. God, we thank you that you have sent this baby, the one who is the gift of peace and joy and love and hope. For this baby, we give you thanks. Amen. And And shalom to you. So, it's really me. So, what we're celebrating as we come together this morning is the beautiful news that the baby who was worshipped there in the manger, and then the shepherds spread the great news, grew up to be a man. He lived a perfect life, and then he died a perfectly horrible death on a cross for you and me. And then he was raised from the dead, and now he offers life to everyone who believes in him. He certainly does bring us peace and joy and love and hope, but Jesus brings us life. Say with me, Jesus brings us life. Jesus brings us life.